Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears back with you here Thursday, July the 9th, 2026. 14 coming up on 15 minutes past the hour. Phone lines are open here. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Feel free to give us a buzz. I thought that was an interesting conversation to have and something I've just been paying attention to lately. I think it's fascinating that Marion certainly has had worse times than we are going through now, but I don't know that people viewed them as bad. Certainly when the shovel left, people didn't like that. Certainly when Tecumseh left, people didn't like that. I mean, there were altercations across that picket line. But for some reason, things are viewed differently now. It's almost as if the people here just want to hear something good. It's almost as if they've been inundated with such bad information, they just want to hear something good. Go ahead, caller.
Good morning, Scott. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. I was listening to the earlier show, and, you know, you're saying how why everybody had, like, a good impression or fond memories of the 90s. I graduated in 1982, and when I graduated, jobs were getting hard to find. Marion Power Shovel, Quaker Oats, Eaton, all of those companies, they were all still here, but it was a bear. I mean, you had to know somebody to get in there, and you were earning maybe starting out, you know, $9, $10, $11 an hour, and you were happy to get that. And if you got that job, you kept that job. And I can remember my mom working at Tecumseh Products, and my mom was true blue union, and you know, Tecumseh Products is known for the strikes that happened before they closed. I mean, they got pretty wild. They got pretty violent at some point. And, you know, they wanted the workers to take concessions. They didn't want to pay the wages and the benefits. So at some point, all these factories moved out of the country to save money. They didn't want to pay the benefits. They didn't want to pay, they didn't want to, you know, be subjected to all the OSHA rules and laws and that kind of thing, EPA, you know, all of that. So, and they kept trying to get people to take that money, and they wouldn't. So then at some point, they all left. So during the 80s, the trailing end of the 80s, I mean, I grew up down on Orchard Street, and I can remember the Harding Hotel being, you know, pretty much abandoned because I used to go up and play in the damn thing.
Yeah, it was abandoned until the late 90s.
Yeah, and I can remember when, and people come at me about this, but I can remember when the Palace Theater was, I mean, falling apart, and they were literally showing porn there. I can remember, again, I was a young male, lived right down the street, just saying. Yeah,
that was, I think, as a matter of fact, it's weird you bring that up, because this year, I believe, is the 50th anniversary of the reopening of the Palace, and that's when they kind of got on the new stint that they are now. So that probably would have been prior to 76, but they were in bad shape prior to 76.
All right. Well, and I don't think we should dwell on the past. I think, you know, an analogy I use a lot, and I've seen you use in addiction recovery, is that, you know, when you're in your car, you have a windshield and you have a rear view mirror. The windshield is huge. The rear view mirror is a couple inches. The point being is to move forward in life or anything in any situation, you have to see the broad picture, the big picture to move forward. you have to have a rear view mirror to keep looking back at what's trying to keep, you know, because your past is going to always continue to try to creep back into your life, you know. So you're, you know, this causes so many, you know, people debate about, you know, if you're in addiction, you know, are you ever fully cured? No, in my opinion, no. So you're always chasing it. So I think we don't necessarily want to talk about the bad times or all that, but it's necessary to keep it in the forefront of our memory, lest it happen again. You know, well, I mean, history repeats itself.
Well, I think my question that brought me to all this morning, or last night, was clearly, as we've just explained, Marion had far worse times than we're going through right now. So why is it that now is seen as a more divisive time? Not that the city or the county is in the worst shape they've ever been, because I don't think they are. And I think there are far more things to do in Marion now for people than there were before. I think Ramtech is a huge thing at Tri Rivers. I think the fact that you can get several four-year college degrees at OSU that you could not have gotten 20 years ago. You couldn't have. I don't think there was one four-year degree that you could have gotten at OSU 20 years ago, Marion, the Marion campus. There were no dorms. There are a lot of things that have come a long way. So why, in this time that is definitely better than a lot of other times that we've just described, is this a more divisive time, a more angry time than those times?
In my opinion, is because a lot of it's based on fakeness. You know, we live in a society that's on that worries about social media, and people put their social media out there. And, I mean, what we put out for the world to see and what's really going on in our lives is different. Let's just keep it at that, you know. And I think it always has been. We've always had, you know, people present their public face and then they have their private lives. And I think that's always been. But with social media, it's so much more in everybody's face. And as you were speaking earlier, and Naomi said, you know, it is. It's very much today, you're either left or you're right. You're either for the issue or against the issue. If there's a solution that's presented to a group, and that group doesn't just accept it as is, if anybody in that group just asks any question, a question is taken as a negative. You know, you must be against it because you're asking us questions. You know, no, I'm a question asker. I, you know, to me, the only stupid question is the ones you don't ask. You know, that's how we learn. That's how we, I'm going to go to city council, just, you know. The more Ralph Smith and Aaron Rollins and Thaddeus Smith and other council people decide to listen to the people and work with the people instead of just walking the left or walking the right line, I think you're going to see more things get done in a fashion that's beneficial to the whole city. I mean, we're big on these slogans right now, and, you know, love your city, and the one I've seen, you know, Marion, it's not that bad.
What a slogan. I mean, what, you know, I get what they're trying to do, I guess throw a little bit of levity in there, but that is not positive for somebody who would not get the joke to see that. That, I don't...
I get that, but I'm also in the one, you know, I'm kind of, where we're at today and thinking Marion is, you know, Marion, it's a city I love, it's a nice place to visit, but I wouldn't want to live there. I think people coming into town, my opinion again, on this whole thing with Luke Henry, the downtown and all that, I can remember when downtown was a ghost town, you know, and I can remember when Lois Fisher first started doing her, getting her grants to buy these buildings and all that, and you know, if it wasn't for Lois Fisher, that downtown would have never survived as long as it ever did to get to the point where, you know, Luke Henry and I can't think of the other guy's name he started with, But yeah, they came in and decided to do these things.
But essentially,
I think it's a great thing.
But that's an interesting point, though, because essentially what Lois Fisher did in the 90s and early 2000s is what they're doing now. I mean,
right.
I don't know what the difference is. There's not really much of a difference. But Lois did not get the type of criticism that Luke and I believe Alex Sheridan was his partner. They got all kinds of criticism for it. Lois never got... I heard people say wonderful things about Lois. She got awards for the things she did. She did essentially the exact same thing they're doing.
Well, she was the only one doing anything, and it's hard to not recognize that. And I know Lois, and I grew up with, you know, her nephew. We were best friends growing up. And I disagree with you on some of that. I think there are a lot of people that, you know, did criticize Lois quite a bit for how she got those buildings, you know, using grants and all that, and they were, you know, against it. I've heard a lot of people criticize the same practice for Josh Daniels. I've never had any issue with either one of them. How they, you know, they were programs that were offered then. They're still offered now.
Well, that's it.
And they're available to all who wants to do the work and do the paperwork and you know, do the things. So I think people just thought they were getting just tax dollars and didn't have to do anything. You know what I mean? And I think people are very uninformed. They just hear this, that, or the story. And, I mean, okay, here's a prime example. At city council the other day, I got up and spoke at one point, and it was during the e-bike ordinance thing. And I relayed a story that, you know, I run into a kid, young man, who's on an e-scooter on Main Street. And I made the comment that this person, to me, looks like a man I know, Danny Logan, who owns Logan Tires, and I said, I know it's not him, and I was going to go a little further and say, but I think he might have a kid somewhere, and leave it that. But, you know, I knew the minute I said that it was going to start something. The next day, I got a phone call. I haven't talked to Danny in a long, long time. I got a phone call or a message from Dan. Hey, dude, why don't you get a hold of me? Long story short, I went there, and he's like, man, I got, like, you wouldn't believe how many, you know, phone calls and texts I'm getting about, you know, you're putting my name out there, and the police are following me, and the police know I'm doing this on my e-bike and all this stuff. And things just get twisted around crazy because people don't really ask the questions. It's, you know, you hear a little rumor, and then it gets spread, and everything gets added to it and all that. Danny and I are good. He's understanding, you know. And he said, I looked at the video. He said, I looked at the city council. And he said, you didn't say anything like that. You didn't run me down. And he said, you know what? I appreciate what you and Naomi and a lot of other people are trying to do in the city.
Yeah, but see, this is the problem. People don't listen. And also the internet, I think, is for all the good that it does, that right there is a good example of the bad things that it does, because it gave access to a lot of people of the video, and they misquoted it, they misinterpreted it, and they felt the need to go right to that person, which I'm really not sure why people feel that need. That's a little bit of a vindictive thing to do. And
people like drama.
That's fine. They've always liked drama, but they're more vindictive with it now because apparently there's video and there's audio and there are writings. But I want to get back to Lois Fisher for a second, because I like Lois. I've never had a bad interaction for Lois. As a matter of fact, when she was running for mayor years ago, which people don't remember, and lost in the primary to Phil Reed, I interviewed Lois Fisher. I mean, she was always fine. But, you know, the same method that she used in the 90s and the early 2000s to obtain buildings downtown, and by the way, all these lofts that people criticize now and the prices,
Lois started that
and was very proud to give you tours of it. So why
we
did
didn't
Lois
have the income base here? We didn't have the income base, Scott, and she didn't have social media.
No, but you know what she did? She rented those to people from out of town, doctors
sure.
and people.
Sure, they were like early bed and breakfast kind
right.
of thing.
Right, so why did Lois not get the criticism that Luke Henry and Alex Sheridan are getting. They were.
I think she did, really. I don't think, again, I think it's more social media, so it's more prevalent. It's easier to see. It's easier for, you know, before, if you weren't in the right circle or in the right bar, I guess, or whatever, to have the conversation, you know, you probably didn't have it. You know, a lot of people just, there's a lot of people involved with politics today just because they know me or they know Naomi, and they're like, oh man, I heard you go up there and you stir it up, you do this and that. It's the Jerry Springer effect. And I mean, Marion's got a reputation for, I don't know if it's a true, but it's one of those old rumors, is that, you know, there, we've had more people from Marion, Ohio on the Jerry Springer show than any other city in America. But I mean, people, I mean, come on, do you drive by a wreck and you don't look, or you just keep driving?
Well, but that's it. Right. And had Lois, I guess, lived in the social media age when she was doing this, she'd get the same type of attention. That,
oh, I think hers would have took off better then. And I think, but I think it's also, we didn't have the economy that we have now. As I started to say earlier, my opinion on this whole thing with Luke Henry and all the restaurants, I'm no genius on all the, you know, return on investment and everything, but I guess my way of thinking is that if those restaurants have to make or break their survival on whether the citizens of Marion frequent their establishments, I think they'll probably go under.
But
I think they need people coming in from out of town, and it's hard to get that because, as you said earlier about one, is it's not a pass-through to anywhere, you know? I mean, people aren't driving, but Delaware, you drive through. Westerville, you drive through. Another issue is that, as I said, Marion's a nice place to visit, but you wouldn't want to live there.
Well, I want to
drive up and down the streets and look at the housing in this town.
Well, I want to make this point because this just popped in my head, and this is the big difference. Now, and this is all happening in the social media world. Does anybody remember this? I'm going to say it's been in the last 10 years, but it probably wasn't even that long ago. Does anybody remember when Lois Fisher bought the Harding Hotel from the retirement home community? It was a retirement home for a while. She bought the Harding Hotel. Now, if you go back and look at the papers from that time, the idea was is that she was going to turn that into dorms because Ohio State was expanding at that point on 95. And a private company came in and built the dorms right across the street, and obviously people went that route, dorm-wise, and the whole thing with dorms never really materialized down at the Harding Hotel. So Lois, I guess, took a little bit of a loss on that. So, does anybody remember when the building, the Harding Hotel, was starting to fall apart? The street next to the Harding Hotel had to be closed, and it was closed for at least months, maybe almost a year, because the city was afraid that the building was falling over and that cars would get hit that were going up and down that street. That street was just blocked off. I covered that on the radio program here. Lois went to city council, said, I don't have the money to fix this building. Can we, I can't remember what her idea was, but was, can we stretch the payments out so I can fix the building? Can we lower the payments? Can we do this? Can we do that? Now, she did not receive any gigantic criticism about that. And that was within the last 10 years. So, why, today she'd be eaten alive. If there was a street closed in Marion because the building owner couldn't repair the building that she was renting out and not living in, my God, she'd be crucified. But now,
well, who would have known that or paid attention to it unless you were kind of a political person? You see what I'm saying?
Well, that's
not
it. The internet has done this.
And you're reading it. And the Marion Star back then was still pretty good. It still reported pretty, you know, good locally. And because I've always read the paper, I grew up reading the paper. My grandfather, like I said, I've always been involved in politics and, you know, and reading and the news, and, you know, grew up with the news on every night at 6 o'clock, and, you know, at 11, you always listen to the news. I forgot where I was going with that. But
well, no, but you're right. But also, see, the difference between the news and what social media does, which is what I keep trying to explain to people, we report the facts. The Marion Star report reports the facts, and then we move on and people can say what they want to say. The internet festers it. They take pictures of it. They concentrate on it. They don't tell the whole story. They say, well, you know, somebody who's got a lot of money's got a little bit of pull downtown, so the street's closed. You can't go up and down it because their building's falling apart. Well, that's not the whole story. And you bury the person because you don't like them or you don't like what they're doing. Then everybody else jumps on and everybody shares it and it becomes a big whoop-de-doo. That's the problem, and we've got to stop that, because that's what allows these people then, who come in and say nothing but good things, whether they believe them or not, because people are so desperate to hear something good, it allows them to be able to swoop in and do that, because it's the yin to the yang. It's unbelievable the change in this amount of time. That's the problem. It's not the business.
I think it's a direct reflection of the national. I think it's a Trump phenomenon, really. I really do. And as I said, I'm just, by nature, with my birthmark and all of that, I learned a long time ago to just be me and not follow the leader and not fall into crowds and all of that, you know, and think independently. And I do that today, and I will always do that. So, with me, I'm always stirring something up, or if something pisses me off, I get involved. And I've learned a long time ago that one of the main tactics that any opponent is going to use against you is they're going to try to dredge up your past. And we live in little old Marion, Ohio, where everybody knows everybody, and your ex is my next, and all of that kind of thing. And so I think, for me, my strategy is knowledge is power, and I've got a very, very, very checkered past on this and that, and it is what it is. I'm not proud of it, or I'm not proud of it. It's part of who I am. It's the roads I've walked. It's given me the experiences that I have. It makes me like so many of you people out in Marion, Ohio, that, you know, I've had my ups and downs, but own who you are. If you're going to run for office or you're going to get involved in anything like this, the first thing they're going to do is try to tear you down with your past. Unless you're perfect and your closet doors are all open and empty, you know, my strategy is here, my name's Phil Towns, and I'm a convicted felon. I'm this, that, and the other. Here's the good things I've done in my life. I've worked with Habitat. I've worked with addiction. I've gone into the prisons. I've done all of those things. I've been to prison, and then I returned to prison to do Marion Matters and even ministry, gone in and done ministry. So, I mean, you have to own who you are and use those experiences to move forward in life. Today, people are fake. I'm not an all or nothing, but everybody's got, me too. We've all got some level, some degree of fakeness. You know, I would say to everybody, when you can be honest and you don't have to blink or whatever, when you're trying to convince that person in the mirror, because that person in the mirror, other than God, is the only other person that knows you the way you are, and you are what you do when nobody's looking. You know, I mean, so the more and more that we are expecting, see, to me, my whole thing with government and public servants is that it's a checks and balances. It's kind of like with the building code inspections. If the contractors don't know that the inspectors are going to be lurking, going to be walking around and all that, then their level of work and the level of competency and the quality is going to go downhill. Unfortunately, that's just human nature.
Well, and I think these are all good points. I think it's something to look at. Hey, thanks for calling.
Bye-bye.
All right, phone lines are open if you'd like to get in on this conversation. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Feel free to weigh in. I think it's an interesting conversation because everything that we talk about throughout the days here and the programs that we do all do focus in, for the most part, on what's going on here locally. And there definitely is some kind of change that has happened in the last couple years that did not exist before. And it has caused a lot of negativity, but it has also caused a lot of people to try to be cheerleaders for the Marion area. And I don't know that either of these things are bad, but I think they feed off of each other. I think you have one because you have the other. I think the people who are saying good things are succeeding because there are people who are saying bad things. And I think the people who are saying bad things are succeeding because a lot of people don't like hearing good stuff all the time because they feel it's disingenuous. So this is where we are. Phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. But I will tell you that there are a lot of things. You know, people think restaurant openings and businesses coming to Marion that way are no big deal. That has always been something people have loved. They want to see the new food place open so they can go try the food. They want to see the new store open so they can go in and look at the store. Going to a grand opening of a store used to be a hugely popular thing that was done in Marion and everywhere else. People like to do stuff like that. 20 years ago, 25 years ago, you could not get a four-year degree at Ohio State Marion. You can now. And there's been a lot of progress on buildings and parking lots out there and things of that nature. There were not dorms in Marion 25 years ago. If you wanted to come to the Marion campus, you had to get an apartment if you did not live in Marion. There weren't affordable dorms like there are now. You know, I talk about North Main Street all the time. North Main Street did not look like it does now, business-wise, 15 years ago. It didn't. It just did not look like that. It was sort of a run-down area. And there has been progress made downtown. I mean, the Palace seems to be doing very well. The Harding Hotel, as far as I know, is doing very well. There are businesses downtown. I've heard a lot of positive things about the Smokehouse downtown. I haven't been there yet, but I've heard a lot of positive things about that restaurant that recently opened up. So that's a positive thing. All the school districts in this town, I believe, Pleasant, Elgin, Marion City, River Valley, I think the only one is Ridgedale, have all built new school buildings in the last 25 years. You know, all these buildings are fairly new. There were a lot of very old buildings prior to that. Some buildings 80 and 90 years old that weren't in the best part of town. 740-383-9944. Go ahead, caller.
Hey, one quick thing that, you know, just came to my mind, that when we were talking about how depressed the downtown was and the city was and all of that, that was a time when I can remember, my brother's a retired firefighter. My mom's a retired police officer from Delaware and Columbus. And I know sometimes people take by my comments that, you know, I'm against them or whatever. I'm not against anybody. I think there's good and bad, right and wrong in all of us. And I think we have to address both sides of every issue with all of us. That being said, I can remember when the station out on Bell Fountain, and I can remember the station down on Jefferson, I can remember when they were closed.
Yep.
I don't know if they were both closed at the same time, but they were closed for a very long period of time, to the point of disrepair. I know that the police department was way down, and everybody in this administration, you know, you got Rob Cowley, he's a retired firefighter, you've got the chief, or the mayor, who's a retired chief of police, and his whole career with the police department, so... And I've said this before, I'm not against or for the mayor or Rob Cowell. You know, if anybody wants to sit down with me and say, do you like them? I can have that whole conversation separately. I think they really do have a heart for trying to build the city back up. I think they witnessed it firsthand like I did. And I remember when we were in bad shape, you know, when the downtown looked as bad as the neighborhoods around here now. I think they're trying. I think they have a heart for that. And I think we have to build up the downtown and fix that. We have to make it attractive, and we have to do things for it. You know, we've got a record center for the kids and that type of thing, but we have to get on top of this, these neighborhoods. We got to get on top of a residential building code. We've got to get on top of all of this that, you know, nobody's going to want to live here with the level of the of just the decay of the houses. And I mean, you can't go up any street and not see it. And I get it. They don't want to all of a sudden, you know, implement a building code and then everybody has to, you know, pay for this. Or as Naomi tells me, I don't want to pay $100 to put a ceiling fan in. Okay, well, you know, we can't just avoid the problem. We have, if you really want this town to grow and be what it can be, there was a developer that came up during the commercial building code debate, and he was, I think he was the builder for the new apartments down on Fairground. And he said that the company he built those for would build more. But he literally made the comment. He said, you know, they would build more, but they need to be bring personnel here to Marion to live here. And he said, in this town, you can take a shovel and scratch the dirt and throw some concrete down and build a house. And he said, that's ridiculous. And everything he said was true. Well, so people need to think about that. And as I said, I'm not against Welcome Collins. I'm not against Rob Cowell. I'm not against anybody. What I'm for is let's stop all the damn bickering. Let's stop all the arguing. Let's start working together. Let's understand that we want a two-party system. For nothing, if for nothing more, is to keep each other honest. The two-party system works as your building inspector, so to speak. And as I said earlier, when you get rid of the building inspectors, or you make sure that there's only one in town and he can be paid off, obviously, you have real issues with the quality of what's going on. So we got to move past this, people. And I just wanted to put that in there, Scott.
No, I appreciate it. Thank you.
All right, buddy.
All right, and again, phone lines are open. If you have anything to add to this conversation, feel free to weigh in. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Got about 13 minutes left in the program today. Do want to remind everybody, Voice of the People with Linda Sims is coming up next, 10:15 a.m. till 12 noon. And then Adam the Computer Guy today from 12:15 until 1 p.m. on this station. If you have anything to say, feel free to give me a buzz, 740-383-9944. All right, from one of our listeners here this morning, Lois has never shamed anyone for not supporting her. Well, I think, again, this goes back to social media. I think that's where that happens now. I think it was much harder in the 90s and early 2000s to, I guess, publicly shame somebody because you had to, I don't even know how you would have done it in those days, go around from restaurant to restaurant. Because certainly nobody was going to print anything like that in the local newspaper. You weren't going to get anything like that on local radio. So I think this is what social media has done, and I keep going back to it. It has driven divisions everywhere, all across this country. But here as well, we're here, so this is what we talk about. It has driven divisions here that we never had before. And it is very, very, very unfortunate. Now, if somebody's got something to say about this, feel free to weigh in. 48 minutes past the hour here, about 12 minutes left in the program. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. I mean, think about that. Let's say in that era you wanted to shame somebody. Well, where would you have done it? Go ahead, caller.
I didn't want to get you off of your subject there.
Oh, no problem.
I just wanted to quick call in, and there's something that's been bothering me here about the city, and then I've got to get off and get back to my chores.
Sure.
But it's all these 2 and 3 foot grass in these vacant lots and in places where there's homes built on there, too. people can't walk down the sidewalks, especially over on Jefferson and on the corner of Van Buren and Tyler. It's just horrible.
Yeah.
It's just all over town. They're not enforcing that where the city will go and mow it and then put it on their property tax bills. With school going to start up in August, kids can't walk down the sidewalk. And with that tall grass, that makes a big danger for ticks, too.
Well, that was unfortunately one of those things we learned very on, one of the programs that had to go by the wayside.
Oh, they've quit it? I didn't realize that.
Yep, that was one of the very early things they said they could no longer afford to do anymore, is have somebody go out there and mow that. I think they can cite the people, but they don't have the resources to mow it anymore.
So it's just going to stay that way? I mean, you talk about how the city looks. I mean, who would want to live in a town looking like that?
That's why it happened. I don't believe that apartment exists anymore.
I didn't know that they... Oh, my gosh. Yeah. All right, I wish we could have some of those people that are on... You see it on Facebook all the time, those guys that have all those videos of themselves cleaning up vacant areas and mowing for people for free stuff. They need to come to Marion.
Yeah, help that area. I understand.
Okay, well, I'll let you get back to all your other stuff.
Hey, thank you.
Bye-bye.
No, and feel free to weigh in with anything like that. We always enjoy hearing what people are thinking. You know, people go all over this town and see things that I certainly don't see. I don't travel every part of Marion. So if there's something on your mind, feel free. That's what we're here for, kind of a hodgepodge type of a program. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Feel free to give us a buzz. But yeah, the tall grass areas in the city, that was one of the programs we found out early on was going to be cut, because the city did not have the money to maintain that program anymore. Now, I think the people who are not mowing their grass can still be cited, but I think that's about it at this particular point. Go ahead.
Hey, Scott, on the Loveless Fisher, I just don't think we had the coverage or the social media or the reach. You know, people pay attention to what they pay attention to. So I keep going back to, even if you had a good newspaper back then, if it was written, but if you just don't read that kind of stuff, you're not going to pay attention. I can remember Lois was, she was on something with the city, maybe it was Can-Do or some part of that, and she owned the building that's the ROM building now. And it got sold, and the city bought it, or Can-Do bought it, and it was a whole investigation because she owned the building, she was on the, you know, committee at the same time, and the state investigated that, and if I remember correctly, they said there was no illegality to it, but it wasn't the most ethical of things to do, in their opinion. So there was, where I'm going with that is, I'm not trying to drag Lois, but I think Lois has probably had her fair shares of, you know, people and detractors. I can remember, as I said, my best friend growing up, Rusty Hawkins, Lois was his aunt, and the story that I heard, and maybe I'm not, you know, 100%, but to paraphrase, is that back in the day she worked for an attorney, and this attorney basically told her, Lois, you're just a woman, and you'll never be anything other than a secretary or something along those lines. And that's what lit the fire under Lois Fisher. And, you know, we all know, or if you don't know Lois Fisher or about Lois Fisher in Marion, Ohio, you're dead. You know, so...
Well, you know, a lot of people that's one of those things that I always find interesting. People who think these people are so well-known, you know, they're well-known amongst the people who pay attention to that stuff.
Exactly.
But
it all depends on what circle you run in and what you pay attention to.
If I went in to the grocery store today and I said, tell me who Lois Fisher is, 80% of the people would have no idea. None.
Right. And Lois was probably cool with that, to be honest with.
Well, no, but I'm saying, if I said, who's Luke Henry? 80% of the people would have no idea.
Right.
If I said...
As I said, I'm not against Luke. I see the good of what he's doing. I don't agree with how he's gone about everything. I don't agree with everything that Lois Fisher has ever done or says or does. Josh Daniels, I brought his name up earlier that, you know, I've heard people grumble and moan about, you know, where he got the money to do his apartments, and I've brought this up before. He's a smart man. He's a super intelligent person. He's a hard worker. I'm not going to take any of that away from the man. I think he used what was available and is available to us all. But we just, you know, some of us get off our asses and some of us don't.
Well, and that's
the big thing I don't agree with Josh Daniels was his part in rescinding the old building code. So that's it.
Right, but I think the problem now, which is what I've been trying to say, with all three of these people, Lois and Luke and Josh, I'm not saying, I don't think I've ever had a conversation with Luke, Josh, Lois. I have. They're nice. I've never had a bad outing with either one of them. But the point is that in the era that they were doing things 15 years ago, that there was no place to have these arguments about what they were doing. So even if there was something not great going on with what they were doing, everybody didn't have a chance to comment on it. Everybody didn't have a chance to share it. Everybody didn't have a chance to put it out there and misinform people about what was actually going on or give their opinion instead of
fact. Crawling up out of a shithole of life, you know, if you've gotten so low the city was all dead and this and that, you know, if anybody's doing anything, you're probably like, hey, my God, let them roll with this, you know what I'm saying? Not saying that's the perfect way to handle it, but you kind of say, hey, you know what, they're doing something. Luke came in to a better time economically and all that, and I think it's just, we keep saying, it's so much easier to be involved. It's so much easier to comment, and you can do that all from the benefit and the safety of your own phone and your home, and people aren't face-to-face. Not that you're always going to, you know, you're going to get beat up or anything like that face-to-face, but, you know, when we have to look somebody in the eye and say what we've said on the radio or what's on our mind, you know, some of us get pretty brave when you can't see us and can't find us, and you're not standing there. So I think there's just a lot of keyboard warriors that have, you know, everybody's got an opinion. I do, too. But, you know, I think Lois Fisher has had plenty of detractors. I like Lois. I don't agree with everything. I like Luke Henry. I've known Luke, I don't know him personally like that. My son used to work for him a while back. And, again, I look at people's hearts. I look at what people say and then what they do. And if they're walking their talk, you know, pretty much goes down the middle of the road for me and matches what they say, you know, I tend to listen to them. I don't agree with, I'm friends with Naomi, I'm friends with you. I don't agree with everything you say. I don't agree with everything God says. So,
well, no, and that's the point. I wouldn't expect anybody to agree 100% with anybody, but I think the internet, because that's where, how do we know that somebody is negative? Because they're posts on the internet. How do we know that somebody is an influencer? Well, that term is an internet term. How do we know that somebody is saying positive things about somebody? Because they see it on the internet. How do we know that people are shaming people? You couldn't shame somebody in the newspaper or on radio years ago because they wouldn't have printed it and they wouldn't have ran it. You shame them on the internet. You know,
yeah.
This...
Well, you tried to.
Well, yeah, but
I mean,
my God.
I have a
God.
Person that's on the internet that, on Facebook that... I mean, obviously, anybody that knows me, I have no issues with telling anybody how I feel about them or what I think of their idea or their performance at something. I have zero, you know, issue with saying it to you. And I'm not going to say it to you out of hate. People will say, well, how do you feel about it? And then they turn around and say, well, you just hate Trump or you just... And I'm a Christian. I seek not to hate anybody. And that's not about them, that's about me. That hate doesn't benefit me in any way, shape, or form. They're going to be who they are. I dislike people. I dislike their actions. I dislike their words. But, you know, I look at, you know, whether they're at an arm's reach or further from me, and that's how much importance I give to it. And, you know, but in my life, I've learned that, you know, I can love my fellow man. I can say, hey, I wish you all well. I wish no bad on you, and I want you to be functioning and happy. But I love you, that, you know, in that manner, but I don't even like you.
I know. Hey, we're on it. We'll continue the conversation tomorrow when Matt's in here.
All right,
hey, thanks for calling. All right, we're out of time for today. I hope you come back tomorrow morning, 8:15, until 1 in the afternoon tomorrow. We'll have much more time tomorrow than the Friday night show, 8:15 to 10. And Matt Morgan will join us tomorrow, not from the fair, here in the studio. Voice of the People with Linda Sims coming up next, 10:15 to noon. And Adam the Computer Guy, 12:15 to 1. For this day, Scott Spears heading for the dugout.
And presidents, you've had your share of criticism. How do you deal with that?
Well, in the first place, you look at it and you see whether it's valid or not, and then you consider the source.